If you're looking for the skills and tools to succeed in real estate investing, you've come to the right place. This show is about breaking through barriers, breaking through limiting beliefs, and breaking through to the life that you want to live through the power of real estate investing. You're listening to the Breakthrough Real Estate Investing Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Brake and Quentin D'Souza.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again today. Quentin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm
good to see
you
again. On the mend. Are you walking? Can you walk or are you off your feet?
Yeah, no, I'm off the crutches now. I'm about the third week of my hamstring tear. So no crutches, and I'm back about 80% now. I'm at the gym. I've been doing different supplements to get me going faster. So I'm good to go.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad.
Thank you.
No more wakeboarding, right?
No more wakeboarding for me. Over 50, not wakeboarding.
So I don't know. What are the old man stuff that you can do?
No, I'm going to be hiking mountains. So that's
well, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I've got an Iceland hike in September that I'm going to do, and I'm heading to Ireland in August for a couple of weeks. So that's better.
Go to some castles. You're going to hike to some castles, or what are you doing in Ireland?
Well, it's my wife and I, that's our 25th anniversary, and it's her 50th. So I rented a castle for our anniversary.
No way, really?
Yeah, I did. Well, it's not the whole castle, just a part of the castle.
You don't get the whole thing? Just the dungeon?
No. but a nice place, so it'll be good.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It'll be fun. And how are you doing? You weren't feeling too well there for a while.
No, every day's a little better. Just whatever it was. It's just sticking around. It's annoying. That's all. It's just a regular thing, though. I'm just a big baby. I like to complain. So, you know.
Hey, have you seen that the latest change in the CPI basket that StatsCan made?
No.
So what happened was that they last, I think it was May or June, they changed the CPI basket. So the CPI basket is how they measure inflation. And they changed it so that the part that represents mortgage interest, the part of the, let's say we have 100%, before it was 3.46%. Now it's 5.2%. So that means that mortgage interest, the effect on CPI has increased about 33%. So that means that, first of all, that last month we had a CPI print that was higher, 2.9%. But because of the way that the CPI basket has changed, that percentage of the increase, so last month it was 2.9%, 1.3% is mortgage interest alone. So that means that for all the rest, like our CPI increase was 1.6%. That's really interesting, because that means that as interest rates come down, because we're in a cutting cycle, that is going to have a higher effect on the way that CPI is reduced. So as rates come down, the mortgage interest amount will come down, and that'll mean that our CPI numbers will be lower. It's kind of interesting.
What would prompt them to do that?
Well, they look at the ways that they calculate CPI in the basket of goods and see whether there's any changes required to that basket. So this was one of the changes that
was often updated. Do they change it, though? Like, because it's like comparative analysis, right? Like,
yeah. I can put a chart in to show how it's changed over time, and it does change in the various ways in the basket has changed. So I'll post that so everybody can see it. Right. We also saw unemployment go up in the last update. So we've seen a 0.2% increase in unemployment. And informally, I don't know if I've been talking to different business owners. So one of my friends owns, and you know him, he owns an RV business, and he's saying that sales are down 50%. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so that tells me that disposable income for people is going down. So it's quite interesting to see. And I mean, small business delinquencies have kind of tripled in the last little while, which is not very good. But
no, it's terrible.
Could also be, you know, the SEBA loan related. So, you know, you had a loan and you had a corporation, and now the corporation doesn't exist, so you don't have a loan anymore. I don't know. Could be related to that. We'll see.
That's basic logic, right?
It's an avoidance strategy. Avoidance strategy.
Well, I like it. Hey, listen, I got a challenge for you. Next show, I would really appreciate you bring some positive news. That's what I want from you. And you're like, oh, no.
There's always where, I mean, I know it's a bit of a challenge sometimes, but, you know, we have to look at both sides. We can't always look at the upside. Oftentimes we go to, you know, events and everybody's telling you about all the good stuff that's happening, but there are challenges and you have to be able to take the good with the bad and, you know, make your own decisions on whether what you want to do. I mean, I'm pretty committed to investing in Ontario. But I have property in the U.S. And, you know, I think that it's still a good place to invest. I just think that you have to have a longer term point of view. You can't, you know, have like a 1 year or 2 year point of view. You got to look 10 years. And if you have that, then there's some benefits to that. But let's we're starting to get all over the place. Let's get our amazing guest on the podcast here.
Absolutely. Let's do it. So today we are very happy to have Victoria Clooney on the show. She is going to share with us the importance of approaching real estate investing with a business mindset, the benefits of strategic planning, professional management, and making informed decisions rather than just following popular trends. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, actually. I listened to Quentin, your podcast, and I don't know if you still do it anymore, but I was really excited when I heard about this new one and checked you guys out and love what you're doing. So you got a new listener.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, you know what? I want to just say that Victoria, she's a seasoned expert. You know, she's got 20 years of real estate investing experience, including multifamily, boutique, motel. But she's a 23-year Canadian Armed Forces member. And I think that, you know, I want to make sure to thank you for your service, because I think that that's really important. You know, we need men and women like you to help, you know, support and defend our way of life. And, you know, I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart and from Rob's heart. You know, we do appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Quentin. And I know that you've reached out to me before in the past and mentioned that. And so I do appreciate that. My father was military. My grandfather was military. My husband is military, his father. And so we've got a long line of that in our family.
Well, we do appreciate that. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And we are going to start out the same way as we always do. Just would like to hear a little bit more about yourself as a person. And also, we really need to know how you got started in real estate investing. It sounds like it's been quite a journey. You've got so much going on that we're going to try and get to everything, but there's so much here. So hopefully we've got time to dip our toes into a little bit of, or at least most of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it is always, I find it so challenging to give my story because there are so many layers to it. And I started very early. So I think that's the big thing to note is that I joined the military when I was 18 and I got my first property when I was just before I was 20. And so I remember my lawyer always saying that I was his youngest and still today his youngest client. And so I was pretty proud of that. I bought that property. It was a pre-construction townhouse, and it wasn't something that I really intended to do anything with but to live in. But what happened was I got the bug and I started to notice the market when I wasn't paying attention before. And I saw the increase in value that went up in these townhomes. So I decided to sell it within a year and go bigger. And so I did a pre-construction actual home. So I moved from picking like maybe seven choices of countertop that the developer gave me to actually designing the kitchen with an allowance and choosing the roof color. And at that age, I felt that was a big deal. And, you know, there's still the house there that a 19 or 20 year old chose all those different colors. But really, it was an opportunity that I saw and I just started to dig into. My whole life, I've been navigating based on opportunity. And I think like the biggest thing that I've found with myself in hindsight is how resourceful I was. And so I went about 15, 16 years without a network. There really was no social media. And when social media came out, it wasn't something I was interested in because, again, from a military mindset, we sort of shunned it. You don't want to be in the spotlight. You keep everything private. But it wasn't until I bought this glamping retreat and decided that I wanted to create its own account because I didn't want to inundate my 200 friends on Facebook at the time. So I created this account and I started to post about it. And what happened from there, the attention that I started to get for this glamping retreat and all the bookings that we were getting really opened my eyes to the opportunity of business and how social media could really impact business and marketing. And that was really where the light switched for me that to start treating my real estate portfolio like a business. And it's been full steam ahead since then.
When was the glamping retreat? What year was that?
Maybe 2018.
Okay. And from the glamping retreat, you started to connect into other business people and you were starting to get that business mindset.
Like, I got the business mindset, but I wasn't doing the connection. So that took again another layer of, because it was uncomfortable for me. So I was under this guy, the guise of the business. It was really like a faceless account. But I decided to turn the camera around one day to talk about getting ready for the guests and what we were doing. And that's when things changed. Like the global news was reaching out to me. I had photographers wanting to come. And so it just like went from there. And that's again, so it was just another level of pushing through the discomfort.
So I'm intrigued, not knowing what it is that exactly you're talking about.
Oh, you got to be on Instagram. You got to see your Instagram. It's super awesome.
Well, I will now, but for everyone else out there too, because we've got it right here, right? I'll ask in person. So tell us a little bit about this glamping retreat. Like, how did you come across it? What intrigued you about it? Why did you buy it? And then, of course, what made it so interesting to other people that started reaching out to you?
It was my family and I were looking for a cottage. So I used to live in Nova Scotia. I'm in the Navy and I spent about 18 years in Nova Scotia. And at the time we'd been looking for about a year and a half. So I knew the market well for cottages. And it was, I remember Mother's Day, it was a snowstorm. And I ran across this cottage on Kijiji and it was unique cottages. And so I insisted my husband drive me immediately. I contacted them. I said, can I walk the property? And she said, okay, sure. I walked it. And I just knew instantly that I wanted this property. There was these three cabins and it's all on the water. And then there was a fourth cabin just down this lane. And so I reached out and I said, immediately, I'll take it. There was apparently 70 people behind me who wanted it. They honored us. We were the first. And it was a private sale. I bought it. And that's when I decided to turn it into a glamping retreat because these three cottages were used by three families, had built these like bunkies, but there was no water hookup. There was electrical, but no water. So I went and I beautified it and I transformed the interior. And then I created our own cottage down the lane. And that's where the again, back to the resourcefulness. It was just an idea that I thought, well, I could monetize this and we can have a beautiful cottage.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're able to get something that you could enjoy, but also created income. Right?
Exactly.
And so you're thinking, is this where your business mindset starts to or strategic planning,
yes,
management, all of these things start to come together?
It started to, but where the real pinnacle happened for me was I got posted to Ottawa about a year and a half later, and we were going to keep the glamping retreat, and a tree fell down about 2 weeks before we left. And it was like a hairline from our cottage. And to me, that was a sign. I was like, imagine dealing with this from afar. And this type of property really needed somebody hands-on. And we used to be there every weekend. It was 30 minutes from our house. So I did the same thing. I listed it privately. Again, huge influx of people. This was in a nice time when everybody was buying cottages. So we made a good amount of money from this. I ended up putting it right in my backyard. So we've got a beautiful oasis in the backyard. But what I found was this void now left that I was really channeling a lot of my creativity into this Instagram account that I had never had or tapped into before. It's like when you awaken a part of yourself that you just didn't realize that you had. So I, again, another story, I remember sitting on a box in my kitchen, the whole house is packed up, and thinking, do I create my own investing account? Because I love real estate and have known it for so long, but I never talk about it. So it was like, this could be an opportunity to share real estate and fitness, because fitness is a big part of my life. But I was so concerned about the judgment of others, because again, I was the one who judges. That was the mentality that I took. I thought it was for vanity. I couldn't understand why people needed all of these likes for external validation. And I didn't want to be a part of that. And I finally did it. I hit, you know, okay, post, started this account, started following investors in Ottawa, found a women's group in Ottawa. And I attended my first meetup probably like the week or two that I moved. And it was sitting in that room of women, and I think there might have been 20 of us. And it was the first time I'd ever seen people like me. And like, there was different age range, but there was a lot that was my age doing bigger things than I was doing. And I just remember saying to myself, if she can do it, I can do it. Because I had a whole lifetime of military and, you know, really doing a lot of hard things. So I just then decided to apply it to investing. But that's where I woke up on the real estate side.
Oh, interesting. So that helped you to make those connections.
Now, make the connections.
So where did the Build Pro business come in?
Build Pro was an evolution of combining my real estate side with my business side. My background is organizational psychology, and I have three businesses now at this point. And a lot of what I find in growing business is the same. And so when you have the operators who can do the actual work itself, the management piece is where I see a lot of people lack. And that's where I thrive because of the job that I do and the experience and education that I have. So Build Pro was really born from wanting to include business into it, where I find that a lot of investors neglect that side. And there's not a lot available to investors to learn how to manage their portfolio like a business, how to do proper hiring techniques, leadership, the team management, marketing, all of those that will help grow. Selection of partners, attracting the right investors, not just taking investors just because you have access to them, but attracting the right ones so you have common goals, your communication style aligns, all of the things that I think people, if they could just spend more attention to those little details, they would have a much more successful outcome.
Okay, gotcha. And how does that connect with the Humble Creek Tiny Homes?
Well, Humble Creek Tiny Homes was a partnership that formed about 6-7 months ago from a connection that I had with contractors. And so there's four of us that are co-founders in this business, and there's a manufacturing partner. So he brings in the manufacturing side, modular homes. He's got 25 years experience. Two contractors who own a company that was building bespoke tiny home models. And then myself that brings in the business development side of it, from the management, from the marketing, from the business growth. And so it's kind of like the Avengers, join forces and deploy.
Awesome. And so how did that What did that do? Like, how did, where have you gone with that?
Oh my gosh. Bigger than we ever imagined in a shortest amount of time possible. So it stemmed from, it's interesting. I had hired these contractors to do a renovation at our property, actually, to add a bathroom because we have a beautiful garage gym and we have a space where we host events. And so I wanted this exclusive bathroom for our guests. And that was probably about 2 years ago. And you know, when you just make this connection with people when they're solid, and they were solid, they were really great guys. And they learned I was in the real estate space. They invited me out to come see one of their coach homes about a year and a half ago. And we got talking at that time about how cool would it be to acquire some land. We live in the West End of Ottawa, so does the contractors. How cool would it be to get some land out on the West End and develop a tiny home village? So we started talking about that. Well, they got connected through a business mentor to this manufacturing expert. And so they started talking about actual possibility of manufacturing, because in order to do the villages, the bespoke model, the one-off homes, it takes too long to be able to produce. And so now what we're going to be able to produce is 6 homes per week. And so then that's when they came and they approached me and they asked if I wanted to be involved. And it was a hell yes, absolutely. No brainer.
Yeah, so that sounds really interesting.
Have they already started building?
So we're trying to get into our factory as we speak. And so where it kind of went from there was the development of the home. And we had to design a home that was meeting the Ontario building codes and CSA approved. And so working with the municipalities now, we actually will fall under the coach home bylaw. And we are now trying to get into our factory and actually expedite it so that we can start. And the goal is really by the end of this month to get going.
So each individual home falls under the coach home bylaws?
Correct.
Even though they're their own thing?
Correct. So the way that we
that's have very interesting
built and designed, which is what makes it unique, is that the model has been developed so that it can be. And so we don't have a lot of the restrictions that tiny homes will have because they're on wheels. So they won't necessarily meet regular zoning on a residential lot.
Very interesting.
Okay. And how does that connect to the Dragon's Den?
Another story for you.
Okay.
Again, so I think I'm scrolling on social media and I see this ad for like Investors of Ottawa networking event, come network with the producers of Dragon's Den. I'm like, cool. All right. That sounds fun. And they were given a free breakfast, but there was nothing in there saying like you had to pitch. And so, and that you didn't have to pitch. And so when I went and I was logging in or signing in, they were asking, are you pitching today? And I said, well, no, I mean, not prepared to pitch, but I would love to learn more about it. Maybe this is something that, when's your next opportunity? And they're like, this is it, actually. So that's the last one before the season 19. And they're just like, just do it, go for it. And I said, well, okay, what do I have to lose? It's
nice.
An opportunity that I can gain, right?
Absolutely.
That's a big part of who I am. Like, I'm not afraid to fail. I know I'll get so much growth out of all my opportunities. And so I said, yeah, go for it. And I'm a good communicator, so I have this little bit of elevated confidence. Well, there's pitching coaches in there. And so I definitely took advantage of talking to a couple of the pitching coaches, how to frame it, how to keep everything within a minute. And so, yeah, I walked in the room, did the pitch, the producer loved it. And you could just tell, like, I got a sense. Of course, they weren't going to say anything until that you got the phone call. And then, yeah, like within 2 weeks, I got the phone call that we were on the show. And then literally like 3 weeks later, I'm on the show pitching to the Dragon. So it's been whirlwind. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And whirlwind.
Has it already aired?
It airs in September.
It is. Oh,
I know. So I know.
We can't even.
It's the worst. It is the worst.
So you can't tell us what the pitch is.
No.
I can talk about the pitch. I can talk about the show. I obviously can't talk about the results or what happened. But Yeah, it's been hard. What I've been saying is they certainly were not easy on me. Okay. Yeah. You know, you want it to be a love fest, and I usually give a good interview.
That's why it's called Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
I know. So it's there's definitely things I'm like, oh man, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, should have said this and should have said that. But ultimately it's awesome. And I'm excited to finally talk about it. How's that?
Yeah. We'll look forward to seeing it, and we'll get the episode date from you and make sure that we announce it when it comes up. And you know, I just want to congratulate you for saying yes, because I find that what ends up happening with people is they have like this, you know, like I can do this or I can do this, but they don't say and I can do this, right? Mm-hmm. So I can go and attend and I can pitch, because you know, saying yes and saying and, that's an abundant mentality. And it's like, yeah, let me do it and let's see where it takes me. And you never know, right? So
you never know. And it's you learn from it. How do you grow and learn if you don't lean into these opportunities? And this is a big part of what I bring to the Build Pro program, but also to the We Build. And so like the women's group that I host, it's to bring that empowerment and that, you know, ability to step through that discomfort and just understand like, what is the worst that can happen? It's not to like remove all risk, but it's just to say that, you know, you can handle that rejection.
Well, you know, and the thing is that what oftentimes people see when you are in social media is like, you see the finish line. You mm-hmm. see, like when somebody has completed something, you see the big buy at the end, you see the beautiful, whatever it is, right. But there's so much work behind that. And there are failures and learning experiences that happen as well. And you know what, I would say that, you know, you're either winning or you're learning, right? So yeah. What are some of those challenges that you've run into in the past, and you know, how have you learned from them?
Well, I mean, many. And you know, the biggest one, and I've talked about it before openly, is a bad investment. And so lending my money to somebody, not going through the proper due diligence, because you know, I had known them, and lost $175,000. And so, you know, I don't expect to get that money back, but it was a really good lesson. And mm-hmm. the way that I can process that and reframe that is that it makes me stronger as an investor. I know how to make that money back. If you can make it once, you can make it 1,000 times over. And so it's not to dwell on that. Trying to think, like, so many challenges, you know.
What about the Breeze Motel?
Like, yeah. You're jumping all over the place. Oh,
sorry. There's so much to talk about.
I can ping pong with you, Quentin, any day.
I know some of these things that I want to hear. So
I want to hear some of the challenges too, though, because I feel like that's one of the most important things, right? Is like, like what you were all just saying, is that when you do go on social media, there's nobody there willing to say that they've run into hard times. It's all just perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what they've chosen to share with everybody, and that's only the roses. And I really do think that it is important to learn that it isn't all like that, and that absolutely. There's many challenges to overcome, and everyone's challenges are different. Like oftentimes, like when I ask on this show in general, when we start asking about challenges, and you know, when I first started, because this is the problem that I was having, anytime I was doing a renovation, it was a problem with contractors or a problem with budget and that kind of thing. What I found is that actually the biggest challenges that a lot of people have starting out is more on the financing side of things, you know? And so, but it just depends on who you're talking to, right? Because for me, like when I got started, I wasn't doing any of the financing stuff, right? I was bringing on partners. They were doing all that, and I was the one on the ground, so that my challenges were different. But anyway, I believe you did have one more challenge that you were going to talk about.
I mean, I have many challenges. I think that the challenge, talking about the challenges, is the way that I view challenges. I'm a like head-on person, and I can often put some type of either positive spin, or I just, you know, go through it instead of trying to skirt around it. You mentioned financing. I had a property that I purchased, and it was going to be like a quick burr. So it was something that I bought well under market from a wholesaler. I knew the value of that property. I did like a quick fix up. I wanted to get an appraised value to get the money out because I had investors that I'd worked with for this. But we are going to develop that property. So I turned it into a medium-term rental. Well, it took me three different appraisals and an additional 5 months to be able to pull that money out. But I just didn't stop at the first no or the first appraisal. You know, it's just like, okay, well, what's the next step? And if I wasn't able to pull that money out, that would have been okay too, because I would have had a conversation with the investors and we would have communicated and we would have found a win-win. And so it's really taking your challenges, like Quentin saying, and opportunities, and turning it into something that's workable. So I use that approach for everything that I do. And it's like, okay, well, what's the plan B? And if it's plan B, then what's the plan C, and how do we find that win-win?
Yeah, and I remember Quentin having the same issues at certain points, talking about them. Just, you know, one appraiser comes in and they have no idea what they're talking about, and you have to work through a couple of different ones in order to hear what you want to hear, in order to get where you want to be. So that can be one of the big challenges, actually. And again, don't, what's this?
Yeah, never,
ever give up. That's correct.
All my,
you know, you just work it out. You communicate. I think a lot of problems right now with investors, the way the market has gone, that people are in a lot of trouble, but I think that half their troubles could be solved with clear communication and a plan to be able to move forward with that. And I think a lot of people avoid the hard conversations. They, you know, avoid just even stepping up in general because of the stress and the anxiety, and understanding that you have to push through that discomfort and it will work out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I have this like a weekly planner that I use. And one of the topics every week that I put in there is eat that frog event.
Yeah.
And it's usually a hard conversation that I need to do, and I'll put it in there, and I'll usually tackle that on the Monday morning, right at the beginning of the day. And whatever that conversation is, or whatever the thing is that I got to do, I do it that time. And I, it can be challenging, you know, from a lot of different levels, because interest rates have moved in a different direction. You know, I've got 25 apartment buildings. Sometimes, you know, we've had multiple renovations at the same time, and then, you know, there's not a lot of cash left in the account. Well, we've increased the value of the building, but that doesn't mean that we have the cash to be able to continue to operate without doing a cash call. And so it's required. Like, you know, we've got the value up, but now we've got to get the renovations completed and then continue with the business plan. And those are hard conversations, because a lot of investors think that we're just putting money in and this is like a REIT or a stock. But depending on how you've structured things, if it's a joint venture, an LP, you know, whatever that is, it could mean that everybody is responsible to bring cash to the table. And that's right. Important to have a conversation ahead of time around that, right? And those are challenging conversations, and not everybody is willing to have them. And as a business owner, you have to be ready to have those hard conversations, right?
That's right. I like that you do that Monday morning, or like right away. Mm-hmm. I think it was a quote from Alex Hormozi that said, return on anxiety. So... Oh. Because people will let that sit and fester for so long, but the lift that comes off your shoulders when you can actually like go through that hard conversation, it's hard in the moment, but it's so much better on the long run.
Yeah. So now what are you working on? Are you working on any acquisitions? Are you working on other, I mean, you're doing the tiny homes and the business. I'm sure that takes a lot of time. You mostly focused on that?
So I have a number, but I've also put on like the blinders that, okay, I'm going to optimize what I currently have. I am a managing partner on a 24 unit development. And so that's ongoing. We've got the motel, the tiny homes are just blowing up. And then I have my community, the women's networking, and then my own portfolio. So in a nutshell, we've got lots of things that fill up our time.
Right. So talk a little bit about the Breeze Motel.
Yeah, I'm very interested in hearing about this.
Because that's what Rob's working on in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah? It's our unicorn, honestly. It was something that my business partner, her name is Noelle. She is our boots on the ground. She actually was my property manager at the very end for my glamping retreat. So that's sort of how we got connected. And then Noelle was interested in learning how to invest. So, you know, we kind of joined forces because she can do all of the management. She used to own an Airbnb management, property management business. So she was really in depth on that vacation rentals. And so she lives in Nova Scotia. The motel is on Evangeline Beach in Nova Scotia. So it's right it's 5 minutes from Wolfville, if anyone is familiar. It's like wine country. It's beautiful. I see Quentin's looking it up. And it's like gorgeous because it's the views are incredible. It's a 9-unit motel. It Noelle found it as a pocket sale. It was just listed in the network first. And so she like messaged me right away. She's like, want to go look at it? I was like, absolutely. They brought me FaceTime. And then we saw it. And again, similar to the glamping retreat, I knew instantly that this was a yes. We offered it, but we were not the highest offer because by this time, more people had started to see this motel. And the owner wanted to sell to us because we had a good reputation. I was known for investing in the area. Noelle was also known for her property management. So we were solid, but didn't come in the highest because I didn't know how to really run numbers for a motel. And I was really conservative with my approach. And when we found out, so they didn't accept our offer. They went with somebody else. I found out the length of time that the conditions were. And when I found out it was 3 weeks, I knew that these were not sophisticated investors because it was a share sale. So it was a bit, we purchased the business. And part of a share sale is much more intricate than even just buying a commercial property. But even a commercial alone, 3 weeks would not have been enough for the environmental, the appraisal, all of that. And so what I did as our strategy was I put in a backup offer that was only up until one day after the condition deadline of the first one. And I called all of my people because I had invested in that area. So I already had a commercial appraiser. I had the environmental. I had all those network. And I had them all ready to go as of that one day. And I told the seller, like, we're ready. We're serious. And lo and behold, the first investors did not come up with the financing. They wanted an extension. The seller didn't want to get bumped around and canceled that one and went with us.
That's cool. How many rooms are in the motel?
So it's 9 rooms and it's a 1-acre property. We got 2 lots oceanfront with it. And we did a full renovation and opened our doors last May, end of May. So we've had it running now for a year and change. And the motel in the first month of like this season already doubled the income that we had made in the first season of ownership.
So what kind of things did you do to double the income?
TikTok.
Really?
Yep. I'm not even joking.
Rob, you're going to have to get on TikTok.
I'm not even
I don't even have TikTok.
It was not intentional. You know, I had started a TikTok account, but realized like they are not landlord friendly people at all. Like Instagram, all the love. TikTok, none. But I posted this video of myself in my car, just talking about leaving the motel for the seeing it for the first time and spending the weekend there with no heat in the middle of the winter. And just like, you know, that we're going to do this right, but the condition was worse than we expected. And it blew up and it went viral. And so that's when I realized, okay, well, you know, people love the motel. So I just started to share more, again, just talking head. And most of those videos go viral. And so people just like flock to it. And we built up a good reputation. We built the Google reviews. We, you know, really just rebranded the whole business.
121 Google reviews there.
Yeah.
Up in the 4 and 5 star range. You're good.
That's right. And it used to be down to like a 3 max. It did not have good reviews. It was owned by mom and pops. It wasn't. The things that I read prior to purchasing it, it was pretty eye-opening. But what I could tell was that it was from the owner itself. A lot of the reviews reflected the management of the owner, which I obviously knew that we would change.
Right. And looking at the photos, I mean, the rooms look really well themed for the area.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted it to be, you know, coastal, but chic, very simple, nothing crazy. We also didn't want to invest too much in the just the renos, because again, we didn't know what to expect fully. We knew what our ideal would be, but it's amazing. So yeah, we are, we're going to refinance it next year. It's doubled in value and we're really
That's
happy.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah.
I'm guessing you guys refinished this pool.
Well, yeah, it got removed. So the pool wasn't there when we bought it, but there was like remnants of it. So we ended up, I think, painting it black. So at least like in an aerial shot now, you're not going to see that turquoise blue.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to see Rob on TikTok. TikTok Rob.
Maybe. I think that my wife and I have had that discussion, actually. And it is like, it does seem to be something that maybe we need to consider now.
From a business perspective, they want to see the behind the scenes. So they don't want a business to come and front themselves as a business, right? So like my account is Victoria Clooney. It's not the Breeze Motel. But I showcase Victoria Clooney as like new owner of the Breeze Motel and what that is like. And people just love it. So then they will tag me or they'll post or they'll share comments when they go there. And like, it's crazy. It's wild.
That's awesome. That's really a great way of connecting directly to the people who are going to stay or use the service or product.
That's right.
I think I think this is an opportunity that social media provides so that you can pull in people directly. And as long as you're willing to put yourself out there, you know, you can take advantage of that and utilize it. So, you know, you're creating a solution for yourself, which is, you know, having people book up your, you know, the Breeze Motel as much as possible. So your booking has doubled.
We pulled a report for June and we were at like 95% capacity. It's insane.
Wow.
It went from around 30%. Wow. So yeah, it's nuts right now.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. Talk about from a business mindset. This is a business. It's not passive income, it's active income. So from a tax perspective, from a control, you know, the government changes bylaws on Airbnb or short-term rentals, they don't touch the motel. And so for us, that was a big thing that I really wanted that control back in my investing and, you know, in how I'm building wealth. And so businesses have been the direction that I've gone, although it's always been in the realm of real estate. And so having knowledge on both areas has really helped.
Okay, so talk to us about the Real Estate Resilience Summit as well.
That's exciting. And it's funny, I think Quentin, I connected with Quentin for the very first time because of the Real Estate Resilience Summit. And I watched that summit. At the time, it was, you know, quieter in the scene and pretty new in the networking scene. And I always remember thinking like, oh, wow, you know, I would love to be a speaker someday. And I remember Quentin stood out. And so you were the only one that I actually like booked a meeting with afterwards. And we did that connection. So
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. Oh, no problem.
Nice. The next year I was invited on to be a speaker. And that was a pretty cool experience. I shared about the motel. Elizabeth and I really formed a great friendship and support network between ourselves. And then this year she asked if I would like to come on and co-host with her, as well as another friend of ours, Megan Hubner. So it's just like the evolution of that growth is pretty crazy for me. And the Resilience Summit, we've incorporated a business theme into this. And so it's not just about real estate, it is treating your real estate like a business. We are talking about US investing, really ways that investors can start to get more cash flow in their pockets, because we recognize that that's a big struggle at this time. So there are still strategies that you can get more, or at least increase your cash flow more than what you might be at the time.
And so that's staying online. You're not, that's not going into a,
all virtual.
Into a live event.
It's virtual.
In-person event.
That's right. There's networking. The thing that I love about this is that, yes, so it's virtual. You don't have to leave home for this. It's going to be a two-day event, September 28th and 29th. But there's a speed networking component that's virtual. And that's really cool because you have a 5 minutes on a timer and you're just randomly put into a room, like a Zoom room, and you can connect with somebody across North America. Essentially, we'll have people from the US, we'll have people from Canada. So you get an opportunity to connect with people you wouldn't even normally get, even if you went to an in-person event. And so that's been one of the most popular aspects of it. We're also offering a VIP offer where they will get 3 months of accountability with us in order to put things into action. The takeaways that they get from the summit, they're actually going to work with us for 3 months in a group to be able to actually implement that. Because that's, again, the biggest challenge is the implementation. Mm-hmm. People do a lot of education, but not a lot of implementation.
Yeah, and not only that, if it's on the same platform as it was before, you can hook up with, not hook up with, you can get together in different rooms with everybody that that's there attending the event, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I learned that from Quentin on the last show. He's no, hooking up with all kinds of people.
You can connect with the industry experts. You can connect with all the speakers. You can, you know, all the speakers will have their own virtual booth. They're all bringing gifts to, like, free gifts for attendees. And so to be able to go into that booth and speak directly with the speaker is really valuable. So there's a ton of benefits, and we're really using a cool program for it too.
Yeah, I've known Elizabeth Kelly for, I don't know, over a decade for sure. So, I mean, she's really great. And I think that, you know, you're great. And, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time with us. I think that there's like some, maybe there's some advice that's always kind of stuck with you that's helped you, and that you'd be willing to share with our listeners.
The one advice, like if I only give one, it's really about looking for the solutions and not the problems. And I think that people often just their default is to go right to the problem. My husband does this all the time. He's like, the problem is, and I correct him. And I'm like, I don't want to hear the problem. Give me the solution. Let's look at the solution. Because what you focus on, you find. So if you're always focusing on the problem, that's what you will find. I'm a solution focused person. I can recognize a problem. I don't have my head in the sand, but I'm always looking for the solution and I always find it.
Yeah, that's what I actually tell my employees all the time, you mm-hmm. know, like, come with a solution. Don't tell me what the problem is, because
right.
otherwise, if I'm solving it, why am I paying you? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I do the exact same thing in the military and then also with my team. I say recommendation, bring your recommendations And don't bring a problem without a recommendation.
Yeah, no, that's certainly some great advice. And again, you know, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And your husband and your
all of
your,
the your list family, long.
The long list, you know, thank you so much for that.
Thank Absolutely. You. Thank you.
And thank you for sharing everything that you've shared with us today.
This is fun. It's I love talking about this stuff, and I really love what you guys are doing. So I was binging some of your episodes. So it's on my list now. It'll be on a new rotation.
Very cool. Well, thanks again. Thanks and we're going to have all of the links and how to get in touch with you in the show notes. But what's the best way that someone could reach out to you?
Honestly, Victoria Clooney, if you just know, don't spell my name like the actor, it's Clooney. And I'm on pretty much all the platforms and I manage my own. So if you message me, it's mine. I put a lot of my money into the team that manages all the other stuff. But for me, this is one of the priorities, is connecting with everybody. So
very good. Okay. And you'll share those links with us and we'll put them in the show notes so that people can go over and see them there. Quentin,
yes.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, you can go and book a 15-minute call at quintindesouza.com. I like Victoria. I like to talk to people, and you know, you never know where it's going to go. And I always like to make those initial connections. So you can do that. You can follow me at Instagram at QmanREI. Also, make sure that you give us a review for our podcast. We want to read those reviews because it really helps to let other people know about the show. So make sure that you do that. Oh yeah.
I had a good review the other day. I liked that one. They're like, hey, these guys aren't pushing anything. Like how refreshing is that? You know, we try not to. I mean, like Quentin's doing all kinds of things. We mentioned Durham REI, of course you want to go out and learn there, but that's not Quentin's bread and butter for the most part. It's just it's a passion project, right? So we're here to just like bring on people like Victoria who can share what they know, and people can come on here and learn. That's what it's about. So.
And wait, how can people get a hold of you, Rob? Because we want to know about your hotel project that's coming up.
There you go. Well, on YouTube, you can go to Hotel Project Costa Rica. So go there. And okay. I think I got 3 videos on there. Just the initial walkthrough, my wife and I talking a little bit about the plans for the place. And then the last one was just like a couple weeks ago, a more recent walkthrough of just a little bit of the renovations that were going on. So I got to put a new one out soon. But go over there. What is it called? Hotel Project Costa Rica. That's what it's called on YouTube. And
TikTok, right? We'll see you there soon.
TikTok soon.
Coming soon. Right.
Coming soon. And then also, if you want to just reach out to me on email, it's rob@mrbreakthrough.ca. Thank you for listening, everybody. See you next time.